I'm Susan Saunders, and I have many great friends of the musical world in studio. Alistair Willis, who is the conductor of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, world traveler, conductor everywhere, and we're so excited when you get a chance to come back and come early before the show. I mean, really, with Violetta in charge, they don't need you until the last minute, right?
Not at all.
Violetta Todorova.
Todorova.
You have so many O's in your name. I can never put them in the right spot. Concert master and brilliant violinist also in studio. Welcome, Violetta.
Thank you.
So nice to have you. I love to hear you play. And I also want to introduce my friend, Andy Corbin, who could not be a bigger fanboy to all things classical music.
I didn't know I was going to be on air today.
Surprise!
Over here, but this is great. I'm so excited to be here.
Welcome, Andy.
I'm actually very excited to be here right now. So
now, true story, in office space that we share elsewhere in the building, how many classical faces do you have up on the wall? Mm. Is it only Brahms or...
No, there's Mozart, too, in there.
There's Mozart? Okay.
Yeah, but I have a little statue of Brahms, actually, at home. I left it at home. I didn't bring it into the office.
We believe you.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, this is Andy. So he had been always listening whenever we would have these conversations. And he was like, oh, I'm so jealous. You get to talk to the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. So I wanted you to enjoy because Brahms is your number one favorite,
yes.
right?
Yep.
And Alistair, we're going to be hearing Brahms on Friday night's show, are we not?
We certainly are.
Which ones?
Brahms' second symphony. He wrote four, and we've done the first and the third in recent seasons, and we're getting our way through them. And second is just a most magnificent way to spend 40 minutes of your time.
All right, now I'm going to put Andy on the spot here. Can you hum any part of number two?
Oh, my gosh.
To prove what a fan you are.
I can do three, and I can do number four and one, but number two... I'm not that familiar with.
All right. Well, give us any one of one, three, or four just to prove your talent here.
Da 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 da.
Alistair can name that too. Is that one, three, or four?
That's three.
Very good. Number three, third movement.
Brilliant.
But so far, you failed on your first pop quiz.
Sorry about that.
You're going to be doing Brahms. You're also doing Beethoven. What
are
you doing from Beethoven?
We're doing Beethoven's Coriolan Overture, one of his, most incredible overtures ever written. It's so essentially the whole concert is going from darkness to light, if you will. This is a heavy, deep 8 or 9 minutes, and it's tragic, and it ends quietly and mysteriously. Now that's so unlike Beethoven, so unlike Brahms, who like to end with a huge bang, wonderful
big cymbal
sound.
Crashes.
Right. But this is a moody based on King Coriolan, the figure from history, and who in Beethoven's version, this Coriolan, he actually chooses death as an option at the end. And we feel that. We don't have to know the story at all. You just feel the power struggle and then the contrasting hope that he has in the second melody. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous and moving 10 minutes.
Any vocal performances accompanying the symphony orchestra? Because the last couple of shows, you've had quite a number of singers, so I will ask.
We have only one vocal component, and that will be Violetta's violin. She will be singing on the violin.
She will be the mouth of our music.
She will, indeed. But no actual singers or words. And if you want to hum along in the audience, we encourage that, but please keep it quiet.
I have to sit on my hands so I don't conduct along.
I do that too at other concerts.
Do you realize I'm not the only one?
And on the bus as well.
What is going on? You have Beethoven, we have Brahms, we had three B's. Barber.
You're back in, Andy.
He's back in the game. Bonus points for you.
I love Barber.
All right, now, just what would you like to hear most, and we'll see if they're playing it. Or maybe they can change the selection.
Well, see, when I was in college, I was a vocalist.
Right.
So I sang, the hermit songs from Samuel Barber. So I didn't really get a lot into the orchestral side of Barber, but...
All right, Violetta, what are you playing from Barber on Friday night's show?
I'm playing his violin concerto, and... I believe that second movement is one of the most beautiful things that has been written in America.
That's a compliment, because most of our great classical pieces were not written in the United States.
Yes, and this is actually the first concerto that I am playing by an American composer. I'm very excited about that.
Now, you did not grow up in Illinois, so had you ever played this piece when you were younger?
I have never played this piece. I've never studied it at school, so I have just started learning it last year for this particular performance.
How long does it take you to be concert ready with a piece?
I would say 6 to 9 months.
practicing how many hours a day on just that one particular piece?
It is not so much about hours as in thought, and you study it, you listen to different recordings, you look at the music and see what means to you. And I've gone through some of Barber's biographies and looked at what was going on at that time when he was writing it. And all of that knowledge, it takes time just to process it. So it's in the back of your head. And in terms of preparing the piece itself, the third movement is absolutely crazy. It is perpetual motion, nonstop, very fast, from beginning to the end.
When you are here and Alistair, the conductor, is not, you are actually working with the orchestra and rehearsing with them, correct?
Well, we're together.
You're together.
He's still conducting the orchestra while I'm playing.
Well, yes, while you're playing. But I thought when Alistair's not in town, do you do rehearsals without Alistair and the rest of the orchestra?
No,
we
don't
do that. There are no rehearsals unless I'm here.
Really?
Or unless another conductor is here, a guest conductor, let's say.
I thought they had to start working on some of these pieces even so far in advance because you're not here for months and months at a time straight.
No, that's pretty... I am. I'm here at least a couple times, once, maybe sometimes twice a month.
Right,
here,
but you're not here consistently. You don't live
here
full time.
But such is the brilliance and the professionalism and the expertise of the musicians. They get the music in advance, and as advanced as they want. Some of them own the music, you know, already.
Sure.
And we have to have at least, I think, 3 or 4 weeks for them in advance. And they can be practicing as much as they need to get ready.
Because Violetta's been working on her part for months and months and months, but
right.
The rest of the orchestra apparently has to catch up quick.
Well, they're not playing the solo line. They're playing the accompaniment, which is, you know, just as important, but it's not out front and center. The role of a conductor and the orchestra in a concerto is to support the soloist. And many of the musicians will have played this before, so it'll be in their fingers, as we say. They won't have to practice too much, though that last movement, everyone has got to practice, whether they've played it before or not. But that's the beauty. We come together for 4 rehearsals, and we put the concert together on 4 rehearsals because that's how amazing the musicians are. Their training and their skill at being able to
crazy
put things... crazy. That's it. Crazy amount of talent.
I
that's
assumed
exactly
there was a lot more involved. As people don't realize how important it is, though, to have such a talented concertmaster. So, Violetta, could you explain to people what the concertmaster does do?
So the role of the concertmaster is to... Well, first of all, what you see when you go to listen to a concert is before the orchestra, concertmaster comes out and tunes the orchestra. That's the first violinist sitting up front. And in a nutshell, concertmaster's role is to serve as a liaison between the conductor and the orchestra, to translate what conductor wants into purely technical terms, what would work on our instruments, to coordinate the strings and sometimes woodwinds, so we're all on the same page, so we're all doing everything together. And that is the responsibility of the concertmaster.
It's a really big responsibility. Mm-hmm. We need to take a short break, but I understand we are going to be graced with a small sample of Friday's big piece by you.
I am
okay. Hold on, we're gonna tease here. We're gonna take a break and then come back because I think I need to get a couple of things to mop up the drool that Andy and I will have when you perform just a little sneak peek. Again, the Illinois Symphony Orchestra back in town, Bloomington Center for Performing Arts on Friday at 7:30. When you love the show so much you can't wait to see it again, well then you can go to Sagamon Auditorium in Springfield and see the show on Saturday at 7:30. And I think with all the snow we had for Valentine's Day, it's time for a do-over. And that symphony you saw the other day, Andy, you need a do-over too.
Yeah.
We won't talk about which one that was.
Okay.
10:19, we'll be right back here on WJBC, the voice of Central Illinois. Get your Okay, again, we have a party at the JBC studio because I like to have fun in here, and I also like to celebrate all things arts and music and whatnot. And the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, of course, you all know one of my favorite guests in the world is Alistair Willis. I give him poop because he loves it. But he is a great conductor. Illinois
I have
Symphony
enough from
Orchestra.
My from my daughter right now. Thank
I
you.
I know. If we got started talking about your daughter, we wouldn't talk about anything
right.
else.
Sorry,
she's the
sorry.
Cutest thing in the whole wide world, and she is going to play what instrument? Have you chosen one for her yet? She's one now.
She will play whatever instrument she'd like to, as long as it's not really big and heavy and we have to get a new car for.
That's...
I love harp.
That's such a little girl answer. They're like, I don't want the big instrument. I want something smaller, easier to carry.
Well,
I would highly recommend strings because you know Violetta. Mm-hmm. Violetta Tordova?
Todorova.
Boy, I need that on a sound key so I can just play it. You have a beautiful instrument, and you are going to be playing an amazing solo piece with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra on Friday. Again, remind us the name of the piece that you're going to sample here.
This is Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto.
Violin Concerto from Samuel Barber. Ladies and gentlemen, Violetta here on WJBC.
So this was the beginning of the first movement of this beautiful concerto.
I can't even breathe. That was so good.
the second movement is even more gorgeous.
Okay.
It's absolutely beautiful. And
we get more? Okay.
Yes. May I play
yes,
a
absolutely.
Little bit more? This is a very romantic concerto, even though it was written in the middle of the 20th century. And... this is all about emotions. It's so beautiful, and I'm going to play for you the theme from the second movement. This theme goes throughout the entire orchestra before it arrives into the violin part in the middle of
it. Are you thinking of someone specific or a specific time in your life when these emotions are coming out through your instrument? Is it also in your head beyond the notes? What's the emotion that's going on in your head while you're playing?
I'm not thinking about anything specific, but the emotions that we experience when we play classical music are sometimes much more intense than anything we experience in our lives, even, especially when we play the music from earlier periods when people had, you know, much more stressful lives.
Much more tragedy.
Tragic lives, yes. So, and I know that Barber, actually, outwardly, he appeared very calm and very very rational. But and this is from the account of someone who knew him very well. This is a quote of Paul Whittle. Is his heart, Barber's heart, was large. His wit hid his sensitivity. His melancholy was his response to the sadness of the world.
Let us hear a bit of Barber again from Violetta and the concertmaster of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
You're getting recorded radio round of applause here, along with our applause here in the studio. Alistair, when you're on stage and the emotion is obviously being felt by everybody in the room, do you sometimes find yourself taken away at those moments where you get kind of caught up in it and realize, wait, I'm supposed to be in charge? You know, sometimes it's distracting how powerful the music is.
I do, and yet that's not my job. Our job as musicians is to move the audience. If we get, and we are obviously are moved as we play, but if we are moved too much, we lose our sense, our ability to think. And for a musician to do that here and there in the orchestra is forgivable, but if a conductor does that and then affects the whole orchestra, that's trouble. I can't do that. And I had extraordinarily difficult time with controlling just that in the last few days where I was conducting Romeo and Juliet, Prokofiev's full ballet with the Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle. And so I did three shows, and I fell in love 12 times, and I died 4 times each show and had to recover and pick myself up again. But that's because I wanted to be the music. But it's so great what Violetta said about the emotions in music being different and perhaps even stronger than ones that we can relate to as humans, because music is just a whole nother level of emotion, and it is to each individual whatever that is. There's no right or wrong to feel whatever you want to feel.
It's a universal language, yeah. And music can say things that words cannot. Mm-hmm. It is just so magnificent. I've always wondered how difficult it would be, though, to be a conductor in front of a ballet, because there's one thing about orchestra faces and musicians in front of you, but when you also have a musical happening, if it's like a Broadway musical on stage and you're conducting the pit, but you can still see what's happening on stage, or the ballet, I would think that would be so hard not to watch at the same time.
Well, I have to watch it. I've got to get the cues. I've got to give the cues
and
the dances.
Yeah, I know you do, but it would just be so incredibly difficult.
It is wonderful, and of course, in the ballet pit, I have the best seat in the house. Mm-hmm. I will argue with anybody, no matter how much they paid for their ticket elsewhere. But you know, when you take away the visual, you still have, and have an orchestra concert, you still have the visual of the orchestra, and that for me is just so exciting, just to be able to see the players as well as hear them. And we communicate in similar ways that I communicate with the dancers, and we're still expressing this incredible art of ours in music.
Andy Corbin, any questions that you have for Alistair or Violetta?
Violetta, when you are like getting ready to go out for the concert, are your nerves just incredible, or like how do you deal with the nerves?
I think every performing artist has to find a way to deal with the nerves. The way I deal with it is I just get excited about my performance, because when we get excited, it's a very similar feeling to being nervous. So why not transfer one into the other? And when you're excited about something, you want to go out there and give your best. It's like giving a gift to people you love.
We need to take a short break, and Alistair tells me that we could hear possibly a little more, but can you stay or do you have to go?
I can stay.
We'll stay.
Yeah, okay. Because if I can hear more, we're going to hear more here on WJBC with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra First News.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Nick. Susan Saunders in studio with number one classical music fan that I've ever met, my friend Andy Corbin, who is always coming to me with little classical musical tidbits and reminders of all those things.
Them.
No, I do. I do want them, because I grew up playing classical piano, but I haven't been as involved, and you're still, you know, looking up new things that are being written for classical music and going to symphony orchestras performances even more than I have. And we have in studio a person that I really wanted you to meet, Alistair Willis, who's the conductor of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. He's really fun. If you tickle him until he gives up, he'll tell you about his musical theater background, which is stunning. But it took me a long time to get that out of him. So I'm going to say, let's tickle us right under the armpit. The concert master for the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, Violetta Todorova, there's Todorva.
Yes.
If I just spell it, I apologize. My mouth just doesn't want to. Todorova.
That's right.
Finally?
Yes.
God, it took me long enough. I'm embarrassing. I'm a radio professional, and I have been in awe of listening to your beautiful instrument play. Just out of curiosity, your violin, does it have a specific heritage? Is it a famous violin?
It is not famous yet.
but it could be yours. You know, this is the famous Violetta Todorova violin.
Yes. I'll go with that. It's an old violin. It was made in Italy by an unknown maker.
Because people know Stradivarius.
Yes.
But just out of curiosity, yours was made by who?
Unknown.
Unknown. It's a beautiful instrument. How long have you had it?
I've had it for 15 years.
15 years. So that is very much your baby. Do you have a name for it?
No. A lot of people name their instruments. I don't. Just because at this point, I am a transitory fragment in this violin's life.
Well, I would still put a GPS on it or some sort of tracking device, because it seems like once a month we hear stories of someone leaving their very expensive violin in the back of a cab.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just keep wondering, how have you not handcuffed this $1 million violin to your arm? I can't believe you were going around without guards, but it's a beautiful instrument. You play it beautifully.
Thank you. Coming up
for the Illinois Symphony Orchestra, shows on Friday in the Bloomington Center for Performing Arts and on Saturday at the Sagamon Auditorium. You can find them online very easily at ilsymphony.org and order your tickets in advance. And it's a gorgeous picture of Violetta, actually, on the front of the website right now, because she is going to be the star performer at Friday night's show. And for you, it's Barber, Barber, and Barber. And you were giving us a little sample of Barber earlier. You had one more piece that you were going to share?
One more movement. This is the third movement from the concerto. This is the movement that is very exciting, and people have called it dangerous and risky in the past. So I'll just...
Do you need Alistair to direct? You know, he hasn't had it much to do here today. I think she's fine on her own.
Yeah, for now.
Absolutely stunning. Wow. And that goes on for a good long while with the rest of the orchestra in this organized chaos of musical beauty that is going to happen this Friday night. It's going to be a great show. Now, when Violetta is on stage, Alistair, is she going to be behind you or next to you? I mean, she's standing up. She's not
sitting in her chair.
Still
which she
from
normally
the first
does.
Spot?
She won't be sitting in the concertmaster chair.
Okay.
We'll all shift and we'll all move up, and she will stand slightly behind me, but I can easily turn to see her, but that means closer to the audience. So
just
in a soloist position.
In a solo performance, I mean, you as a conductor are making sure that everything is going at the right time and the right speed and everybody is following along. But when you have a soloist, who's really in charge during those solo pieces?
That is a fantastic question. Violetta will have an answer for you, but my answer is, you know, it basically is who follows who, and the answer is whoever's getting paid the most. when I'm working with someone fresh out of Juilliard, you know, that person probably will be watching me more than I'm watching them. But when I'm working with someone like Yo-Yo, I'm doing it his way.
I understand. I understand that. Violetta, when you're doing a solo piece like that, is it really the same every time, or do you have different evenings where the interpretation is a little different?
Although I do think a lot about interpretation and I have certain ideas, You do get different, a little bit of different performances each night.
The inspiration can suddenly surprise you.
Yes, and I think that's a good thing, and I think there should be room for spontaneity in a performance. It should not be a static, predetermined thing, because I think then the magic is kind of goes away a little bit.
Are you confident that Alistair will follow you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We followed each other before, and of course, the best of all possible worlds, which will happen this weekend, is when, you know, we realize that we're there for the music. Music is bigger than both of us, and bigger than the orchestra, bigger than the audience, and we unite at that over that, and we will find moments. There are always moments where the conductor needs to follow the soloist, and where the soloist needs to follow the conductor, because I'm helping it and 80 other people come in with her. So there's a trust that we develop and that we learn together, and it is one of the most beautiful things.
Who do you distrust the most in any orchestra? Any particular instrument?
Oh my gosh.
Do you worry the most about the drummers and percussionists? Do you worry the most about the flute players just getting completely lost because they always have the most notes to play next to the strings?
Well, I trust everyone in the orchestra because they're all wonderful professionals.
Mm-hmm.
I think Strauss once said, never look encouragingly at the brass. No, excuse me. I messed that up. He says, never look at the brass. It only encourages them.
So
and there's some truth in that wherever I go.
Well, their instruments are just naturally louder,
so they're always trying to contain,
as, you know, Andy is a fabulous trumpet player.
But I love the brass, and I was a trumpeter too, so I that's why I never got looked at.
Now you know why they weren't looking at you.
Yeah.
Any last questions, Andy Corbin, you have for Violetta or for Mr. Willis?
How much are tickets to go to the symphony?
Tickets available by now. I'm on the website, and I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm clicking the button.
As someone who is a very young person, I would be concerned, or not concerned, but I would be interested in knowing.
The Bold and the Beautiful show, choice ticketing is coming up right now. Tickets range from $19 to $59, but let me tell you, the least expensive seats are also available in the very top part of the balcony of the Bloomington Center for Performing Arts, my new favorite place to sit for any show, even if I can afford the better tickets, even if I am front in line for a show, I prefer the balcony. And you can kind of see over the front of the stage, but there's just not a bad seat in the BCPA. Do you feel that when you're in that hall, Violetta, the way the sound travels? I know it's better than the Sagamon Auditorium, which is a lovely facility, but the sound is better at the BCPA.
It's a very good sound, yeah, and I agree with you. I also like to sit at the very back of the hall or on the balcony, anywhere really I go, because then you get a very, very homogeneous sound out of the orchestra.
I like the way it rolls in that building up through the ceiling. So, yeah, $19 to $59, and there are still seats available in every single section. Thank you so much for joining us today, Conductor Willis.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you very much, Concertmaster V. How about I go with that?
That's what my friends call me.
Concertmaster V?
Told you that earlier.
Yeah. I think it should be your Twitter handle.
No, just V.
Thank you very much. Andy Corbin, thank you for enjoying the
music. Thank you for letting me come in. This has been a real pleasure. Like, I'm very excited.
We love the music here at WJBC. Who knew?